Good afternoon, Bedeco Baptist Church. This is Pastor John and Miss Brittany.
Hi.
If you hear our children in the background, it's because they are downstairs, and sound apparently carries very well from that room into this one. So if you hear some little jingles from time to time, it's some toy.
Or screaming.
That is our children downstairs from
They're
where we
sorting
are.
Sorting out their issues with one another.
We gave them boxing gloves in a padded room, so.
I don't know if it's padded. But.
Should be entertaining, at least. Yeah. Well, we are picking up from Sunday. We're in a new chapter 7. I only went through 9 verses. And those 9 verses talk about how Jesus' own family didn't believe who he was. They challenge him, you know, why don't you go up to the Festival of Booths or the Festival of Tabernacle or the Festival of Shelters, whatever you want to call it. It's all the same thing. And which is equivalent to like our American Thanksgiving, essentially.
Sort of, yeah. They would build like tents and stuff. It's actually going on now.
Right.
Because of how the Jewish calendar falls.
Mm-hmm.
And they like go out and they build like tents in their yards, if they have yards or whatever.
Right.
And I think they eat fruit, some other things, but they celebrate it, thanking God for his provision in the wilderness during their time between Egypt and Canaan.
Yeah. So Jesus' brothers, they're challenging him on, you know, if you're so great, you know, if you are the Messiah, if you are this great individual, you'll go prove it. And he actually said, they actually say, you know, prove it to your disciples. Well, his disciples already believed him.
Mm-hmm.
Because of what happened last week, you know, with the crowd walks away and Jesus turns, or the disciples tend to walk away. And Jesus turns to the ones that stayed and said, are you going to go too? And Peter says, well, where are we going to go? You have eternal life. Mm-hmm. So he didn't really have to prove anything to his disciples. But like his brothers didn't get it.
Mm-hmm.
The Jewish leaders didn't get who he was. And that kind of leads into our conversation this afternoon of who exactly is Jesus? And of course, we'll play on this a little bit more this coming Sunday of who exactly is this Jesus? But I think it's fair because the conversation's already started of his own brothers didn't believe, Jewish leaders didn't believe. Why should we believe? Why should we believe that Jesus is the Messiah? Because after all, there's so many different thoughts about Jesus. And some people would argue, and you're free to think of Jesus however you want to think about him. And so this whole...
Jesus would say otherwise.
Yeah, Jesus might say otherwise. So this whole episode is really looking at who exactly is Jesus, and even more so, why should we believe that he was the Messiah? And so we want to start with, you know, what did people say about him? What did early church history say about him? And what do we now in modern day America or just worldly, what do we say about him? So this is going to be a full episode. At least I hope it is. But I want to start with what did the biblical leaders say about Jesus. He's, you know, obviously the religious elites did not like him
mm-hmm.
at all because he threatened their religious monopoly. And some people said, you know, he's Elijah or he's the son of Joseph or, you know, but he's not the Messiah. It seemed that there were only a handful of people that actually believed that he was the Messiah.
Mm-hmm.
There were a few religious elites that recognized the signs and said, this is the Messiah.
Nicodemus and Joseph.
Right. At least. His disciples, for the most part, believed. I say for the most part because there's that whole traitor, Judas Iscariot, right?
Sorry, dog.
Yeah. And he may have even believed, but sold out. But there's clear biblical evidence that points that Jesus is the Messiah. And everything that he's done up until chapter 7 is enough evidence to say that, no, he is the Son of God. But there are some things within church history and even in world religion history that say, no, Jesus wasn't God.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to start with just one of those heresies, Arianism. And so Arianism basically is, it's named for the 4th century teacher Arius, who taught that Jesus and the Holy Spirit were created.
Mm-hmm.
And really, Jehovah's Witnesses will believe this, but Jesus is eternal. So the question I have for you is this. Was Jesus created?
No, he's always been.
So then the argument is, but we know he's come in human form. Like, we know he was a human. Mm-hmm. Yes. At one point, in a brief moment of history, yes, Jesus existed as a human. But eternally, he's always existed.
Yes.
He's co-equal with the Father. Mm-hmm. And so it looked like you had a thought there, but...
I have lots of thoughts and not enough time.
Yeah. But, yeah, our Jehovah's Witness, I guess, friends would suggest that Jesus was created, the Holy Spirit was created, and God is superior. God the Father
Latter-day
is superior.
Latter-day Saints would also affirm that.
Yeah. And then another one, adoptionism. And this one, this is actually one that we're also seeing in modern day today as well. It's coming back around, has been for a while now. Mm-hmm. But adoptionism is the view that teaches that Jesus was just an ordinary man. He's just someone just like me and like you and like Hunter, up until his baptism. And once he was baptized, because of the supernatural events that happened around his baptism, he was adopted by the Father and given supernatural powers and the status mm-hmm. of Son of God. This is probably, arguably, one of the more common heresies within the Christian church today, especially with like hyper-charismatics. Yeah. And I want to address why they think that, or why they believe that, you know, Jesus was adopted back into God's family. And they actually pull scripture out of context and they say, you know, Jesus said that we were going to do greater things mm-hmm. than he did. And you realize, who was Jesus talking to when he was saying that?
His disciples.
Yeah. So I'm trying to get you to talk more. Miss Brittany looks tired this afternoon. Tired. Yeah. I'm trying to get Miss Brittany to speak more, but she seems to be tired.
I am.
But Jesus was talking to his disciples, and in not even in theory, I was about to say in theory, not even in theory, his disciples did do greater things because they took the gospel further than Jesus took it.
Yes.
You look at where all of them were martyred, and you know, some were martyred in Asia, in Africa, in Europe. You know, all over the globe, some in India, mm-hmm. all over the place, and the gospel has spread quickly after the death, burial, resurrection, and the ascension of Jesus. And so I am curious, and maybe you can answer this, so it's not just me talking.
Just say talk, Brittany.
Yeah. Why is it that we have our hyper-charismatic friends teaching this?
I don't know why, but, well, from what I've seen and read and heard, it seems to suggest that if we're not doing the same things that Jesus did, then we are withholding a part of the gospel that they would see to be important, mm-hmm. I suppose. And this is not a blanket statement for anybody who is more charismatic than others. This is a specific group,
mm-hmm.
if you will.
Right.
They would say that the gospel is not complete if we are not doing signs and wonders.
Right.
And the reason that we should be able to do signs and wonders is because Jesus was a man in right relationship with God who assumed divine status at his adoption, quote mm-hmm. unquote.
Right.
So because Jesus could do those things as a man in right relationship with God, mm-hmm. then once we are in right relationship with God, then we should also be able to do those things. And their reasoning is because the apostles went out and did signs and wonders mm-hmm. that authenticated Jesus' message.
Right.
That poses a problem when you have schools pop up to teach you how to prophesy. I'm trying
the Christian
to be,
school.
Look, this is gentle for me. Okay?
Right, right, yeah. The Christian school of supernatural ministry.
Yes. They teach you how to prophesy, or they teach you to raise the dead. They teach you to, and I don't see, and I could be wrong, I'm going to throw that in there. I don't see anything in scripture where you're taught to do those things. It's the power of the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And I'm not saying that people can't prophesy. I'm not saying people can't pray over somebody who has been pronounced dead and they come back.
Mm-hmm.
That's not normative. And Jesus doesn't tell his disciples, you have to do this in order to spread the gospel.
Right.
The gospel was Jesus condescending to us, being born of a virgin,
mm-hmm.
living a perfect, holy, righteous life
mm-hmm.
on behalf of us, something we couldn't do. He willingly died, shed his blood for our sin,
right.
was buried, resurrected, and ascended.
Right.
That's the gospel.
Right.
And if we put our faith and trust in him, he will make us right before God.
Mm-hmm.
He will make us righteous. He will put on the garments of righteousness. We will be made right. And I know I'm like hammering in on that, but it's only him who can make us right.
Right.
And then when you start adding on, but wait, you got to do this, but wait, you got to do that
mm-hmm.
to show that you really are a Christian or you really are whatever.
Yeah.
You start stepping over into legalism and adding things to what.
Mm-hmm. Which is another heresy.
And it can go on the other side too. So oh, yeah. I'm not just hammering in on hyper-charismatic people on the other pendulum swing
yeah.
can do so too.
I've had several conversations, some with more charismatic and some on the more reformed, but not hyper about it. And we all agree, like in that, and it's a much larger group that, you know, there's a healthy balance of, you know, yes, it's okay to pray for miracles. It's okay to mm-hmm. pray for healing. It's okay to, I would even go as far as to say, it's okay to hope for signs and wonders. However, where I draw the line is when your faith
hinges.
Is banking on it.
Yeah.
Because that's where the line has to be drawn. And
it's bankrupted a lot of people
yeah.
spiritually because it's one of two things when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm.
If your faith hinges on God acting and he doesn't act, so either
someone's lying.
Yes, either your faith is subpar, weak.
Mm-hmm. You don't have enough faith.
Right. Or yeah. God's a liar.
Right.
So that's
or if you just sow a seed.
Right. Know. So that's just a very dangerous thing
yeah.
to get into. And that's where you have to lean into who God says he is
mm-hmm.
and his character.
Right. Because
there's a lot of times I know I've prayed for things to happen. And you know, we were just talking about the death of a friend of ours from a couple of years ago, and it mm-hmm. was a total freak thing that happened to him. And of anybody in the world, like, why this person? And we spent several days praying, like, God, you know, don't let him die. He's got a wife, he's got a child, and he is an instrumental part of our church. And he did.
Yeah.
He died. And yeah. we really had to lean into God's character, knowing that, first of all, he's the author of life.
Mm-hmm.
He has ordained every day that we will live.
Right.
Before there were days to be numbered. That's in Psalm 139. That's
why I don't diet.
Oh, my goodness. You just totally threw me off my train there.
I know.
Crash and burn. You wanted me to talk, and here I'm talking
yeah,
now.
Yeah.
And now I don't remember what I was saying.
Yeah, talking about how he's the author of life. He's ordained.
All the days that we will live.
Yeah.
That's Psalm 139, that he's good. Regardless of any circumstance, that his ways are higher than ours.
Mm-hmm.
We're not always going to understand everything he does. So, yeah. you know, yeah. you have to lean into his character for that.
Yeah, and so, I just want to be very clear, you know, our faith is a gift from God. Mm-hmm. Our faith is to be centered on Jesus Christ and his goodness and his righteousness. It's not to be, on all these extracurricular things. Can God do miraculous things? Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Will he do them? Maybe. But at the end of the day, as Christians, we are to honor Jesus Christ as God,
mm-hmm.
and we are to rest in his goodness and his faithfulness, and not so much in signs and wonders, not so much in legalistic where the pendulum swings all the way back to I'll say hyper reformed, just like I said, hyper charismatic, because that is both of those sides are dangerous.
Yes.
And in both regards are both legalistic as well, because you're adding to things that Jesus never said.
Right.
Or you're misquoting scripture, one or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be the first to tell you, I am not going to sit here and say, I know all the mysteries there is to know of God and his word. And unfortunately, I do know some on both sides that will say that, that will claim that. Like, oh, no, I've already figured it out. And
that's great for you.
Yeah. No, you haven't.
I'm so happy for you.
But I do. Yeah. So happy for you. But I do want to talk a little bit more about this. You know, how do we see Jesus? And more so in our modern day, how is Jesus represented? Is he represented fairly? When I say the American church, I mean, I am speaking as a whole, as the American church. Mm-hmm. If we were to take a 40,000-foot view of the American church and say, is Jesus fairly represented in the American church today?
No.
Okay, so why would you say no? I know why I would say no.
Because, effectively, the American church... Not every church, but as in general,
we're just saying as a whole,
has taken Jesus and made him into an idol. And I base that off of the second commandment, actually. It says not to create a graven image.
Right.
So we haven't taken, unless you hold to a very strict view of the second commandment, you know, we're not taking like little pieces of metal or wood and carving out Jesus's or whatever.
Right.
But what I'm, the gist of that commandment is taking God, and I don't like the phrase putting God in a box because it's been,
I saw you cringe yesterday when I said it.
I'm sure all the college kids saw me too because they make fun of my faces.
Yes, they do.
I can't control that. But
I did that intentionally, by the way.
I know. But only because it's been thrown back in my face so many times when, like, trying to talk to people about things. Like, well, you can't put God in a box. And it's like,
You're right. You're right on one aspect of that statement.
Yes.
But he is not going to act outside of his word.
Of who he says he is in his word.
Right.
Now I've lost track again.
Yeah.
What were we talking about?
Church, the American church.
Okay.
Yeah,
yes.
There you go.
What they've done is they've taken Jesus as he is presented in the Bible, and they've either cherry-picked things that they prefer and ignored things that they don't like about Jesus. They have taken Jesus, and he is going to give you your best life now.
Yeah.
And not... spiritual abundance, but physical abundance,
right.
Material abundance. They have taken Jesus and they have so softened him that he's sweet, cuddly Jesus. And, you know, he's going to come give you a pat on the back. Oh, it's okay.
It's no big deal.
And, right. It's no big deal. Everybody messes up and kind of winks, gives you a wink whenever you mess up. It's like, oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it.
Right.
You know, it's not a big deal. Come to Jesus as you are. Kind of deal. And yes, come to Jesus as you are, but he doesn't leave you the same.
Right, which is what I was about to say, is we have this idea that, oh, you just come to Jesus, you know, and don't worry about it. But
that's
contradictory to his message, because while Jesus exposes sin, he says, you come to me with your sin, he says, and then repent.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we don't like
go
that
and
word.
Sin no more.
Yeah, go and sin no more. And I know even yesterday in the sermon, the congregation probably got tired of me saying the word sin yesterday. But it was such a major part of the sermon that, like, I'm not going to shy away from saying trigger words. Look, if the word sin triggers you, then check your heart. Because chances are you've got an issue that you're not willing to confess and repent from. Yeah. And so, therefore, you want some sensitive, like, hippie Jesus, and you don't want the Jesus that died for your sin, and gives you the gift of salvation that tells you, repent and believe. You don't want that Jesus. No, you want some Build-A-Bear Jesus.
Build-A-Bear Jesus.
That's right.
That is That is the caption for this episode, is Build-A-Bear
Build
Jesus.
Build-A-Bear Jesus. But I'm glad we can laugh at that.
So we want, it's not that you can't come to Jesus as you are, because you can't, you can't clean yourself up. So right. In that aspect, yes, come to Jesus as you are. But if you don't
change,
if there's not fruit, if there's not evidence, and it doesn't have to be immediately overnight evidence either. It takes time.
It'll be a lifelong process.
Yes. Then there's something not right. We don't like to talk about how, Jesus is, yes, our Savior, but he's also our judge.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's not your Savior, then he is your judge.
Right.
Well, what about, Jesus said he didn't come to the world to condemn the world. You're right. The world is already condemned.
Right.
He's come to offer salvation.
Right.
Just like in the verses you were reading from yesterday, how he was telling his brothers, world doesn't hate you.
Yeah. But it hates me.
Yes, but it hates him because he's not of the world. And I know I'm butchering that verse. I leave my Bible. I bring it with me and I leave it downstairs. But
with Jesus, like you were saying, he's not coming. He didn't come to condemn the world because the world's condemned already. And here's the reality. He's coming back one day to ultimately judge it.
Yeah.
Like, Let's put some things in perspective here. When we're thinking about Jesus, especially when you go to Revelation and the description that Revelation gives of Jesus returning,
he's not a sissified Jesus.
It's not, like I said earlier, it's not your Build-A-Bear Jesus. Mm-hmm. It is a warrior king coming to pronounce judgment on this world.
Mm-hmm. And to get his bride.
Exactly, and to come back and get his bride. And so, when you start thinking of Jesus in correct terms, it should draw you to awe and wonder.
Yeah.
It should draw you to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Mm-hmm. I think people are so comfortable with their sin and they don't want to give it up that they prefer this sissified Jesus that is not biblical.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have one last thing to talk about. Then you have another problem. And it's the same problem that the Jewish leaders had. Because if you go back into biblical history and what the Jewish leaders thought Jesus should be or what the coming Messiah should be, what was it? It was a military leader that's going to come overthrow the government.
Political Jesus.
How much of that same mindset are we seeing today?
Yep.
Especially in our own country.
Yep.
Where...
And before people come out with their pitchforks and their torches, it's... on any and every side of the political pendulum.
I'll go ahead and say it and be bold enough. There is, if you think for one second that a politician is going to save you or be the hope of any nation, you have lost your mind, to quote Dr. J. Powell. You have lost your mind.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is the only hope for any country, not political leaders. But we want a political Jesus.
Yeah.
And so we will weaponize Jesus. Mm. We will weaponize the Bible.
Mm.
And we'll say things that are just not true.
Yeah.
I had both you and Hunter were like, what is he going to say?
What is he about to say? Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. So it's anytime I can make our worship minister and my wife just wince, like, oh, no, what's he going to say? Doesn't matter. I'm going to get the email at the end of the day. So, but here's my challenge. If you really want to know who Jesus is, go to the book that he wrote about himself. That's how you know who Jesus is. Learn from his word and not Twitter or X or whatever it's called now.
Goodness, just stay.
Learn from his word and not Google. His word is his autobiography about himself and who he is. That is the only way that you're going to get an accurate picture of who Jesus is.
Mm-hmm.
Not through our imaginations, not through who we think he should be. Jesus has been dealing with that forever, of people thinking of who he should be.
Mm-hmm.
And he, 9 out of 10 times rebukes it? That is not who I am.
Mm-hmm.
And so... we're continuing, we're going on in chapter 7. We're going to verse 24 this week. where Jesus goes up to the festival and he's in the temple. But once again, he's answering the question of who he is. And so next week, it is that, what is Jesus saying about himself? Mm-hmm. Church, family, and anyone that's listening, that's all I really have today. Like I said, it's kind of a loaded episode, and I don't think I said anything too controversial, but give me time. And but we appreciate you. We love you. May God bless you and keep you. Take care.